It's showtime, folks.
Right you are, Mr. Gideon. Showtime for episode 34 of the DVD Marquee. Jeffrey Rosato back with you once again. Hope you all had a great extended 4th of July holiday weekend, but it's back to the grind for most of us. It is vacation time for some of you all out there, I know, and for the rest of you that haven't blown your 2 to 4 weeks of getaway days, you're bound to be using some of it before Labor Day if you're smart. And for those stuck at home on your summer vacation this year, I have conceived the next 2 installments of The Marquee with you in mind. Ain't that nice? Since it's kind of a dull period for new and exciting DVD releases, I'm going to be devoting this show and the next to some DVDs that you may not have gotten around to checking out in 2007. That's certainly the case with me, so away we go! As a huge movie fan for most of my 4 decades on this planet, I have never seen a film that so closely echoes the off-screen persona of its director more than Bob Fosse's 1979 musical / pseudo biopic / artistic statement, All That Jazz. Roy Scheider was given the almost insurmountable task in portraying Joe Gideon, aka Fosse, in a role that required style, charisma, intensity, flamboyance, and a lot of nicotine. And he is a revelation in this movie, which captures the creative spirit and inner demons of this legendary choreographer perfectly. There are other noteworthy performances as well, including Anne Rankin as one of Fosse's many girlfriends, Leland Palmer as his ex-wife, loosely based on Fosse's real-life wife, Gwen Burton, and a mostly unknown actress by the name of Jessica DeLange, who was still probably recovering from that god-awful 1976 remake of King Kong. In addition to all the great music and the way out there production numbers, you'll have fun catching familiar faces in the early part of their careers, including Third Rock from the Sun's John Lithgow, Wallace Shawn from Clueless, and the breathtakingly beautiful Sandahl Bergman, who figures prominently in the unforgettable Air Erotica sequence. This is the second go-round for All That Jazz on DVD, so does it merit an encore at the cash register? Based on my research, the picture quality is far better this time out, with more color and film-like presence, and the film's original soundtrack is supplemented by a pretty good 5.1 remix that pleased my ears despite it lacking in rear presence from time to time. Bonus-wise, well, they've dropped the rather useless Roy Scheider commentary track and replaced it with a rather useless commentary track from editor Alan Heim. But there's only so much perspective someone from his vantage point can lend for 123 minutes, so we're talking a lot of dead air here. It's too bad Heim wasn't paired up with someone like a musical historian, or better yet, Liza Minnelli. And speaking of Liza with a Z, she takes part in what's by far the best bonus on this disc, Portrait of a Choreographer, which features cast and crew members along with contemporaries giving their heartfelt, sincere impressions of one of Broadway and Hollywood's most talented dancers. There's also featurettes devoted to the music of the film, a follow the bouncing ball version of Take Off With Us that you can sing along with at home, and 2 photo galleries. So while I feel there's a definitive package still awaiting this film, All That Jazz Musical Edition passes the audition for now.
Ah, has everyone met our new art teacher, Sheba Hart?
The first day of a new term, and they flock to her.
Must.
I can see why others are beguiled by her.
Stop it! Enough!
Thank you so much.
She's the one I've waited for.
Okay, let's talk about a couple of Oscar-nominated films that have debuted on DVD in recent weeks, one of which is Notes on a Scandal. It hit our shores right around the time the nominations were announced, and although it didn't bring home a truckload of Globes and gold, it is a wicked little gem of a dark comedy with sharp dialogue and great, great, great performances from Cate Blanchett, who I have to say has never looked more fetching. And there's Bill Nighy from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and a never better Dame Judi Dench as this elderly stormtrooper of a school teacher who bonds with an incoming educator played by Blanchett. But everything comes unhinged when would-be lover lady catches her would-be catch in a little tryst with one of her students. And you know, I wish this episode were a video podcast edition, because I just wish I could show you the look on Judi Dench's face during this particular scene when she catches these two in the act. It's one of the funniest expressions I've ever seen. I'm telling you, even Mr. Roper and Mr. Furley on Three's Company combined couldn't have topped this. Scandal's home video debut makes for a good-looking disc with nice, rich colors and smooth visuals, which makes the cinematography all the more scrumptious. The 5.1 is surprisingly active for a drama of this sort. You've got commentary from director Richard Eyre, an adequate making of, and online material taken from the film's website. But even though it comes up a little short on the bonuses, this is the kind of movie you buy for the movie, which contains a tour de force by two actresses at the top of their game, generating more fireworks than the 4th of July celebration in our nation's capital, and Notes on a Scandal.
What's going on?
The president wants to see you now.
You are British.
I'm Scottish.
Scottish?
Why didn't you say so?
Have you any idea what's going on in this country? They're not even bothering to dig graves anymore. They're simply feeding them to the crocodiles.
A few shows back, we were happy to talk about Helen Mirren's Academy Award-winning performance in The Queen, and it's only fair that we salute Forest Whitaker for his performance in The Last King of Scotland. He plays, of course, as most of you know, the Ugandan dictator responsible for the deaths of close to 500,000 people. Of course, I'm talking about Idi Amin. And while Whitaker is indeed revelatory, he's gotten so much press that it's drowned out some notable supporting performances, particularly James McAvoy as the young doctor from whose perspective we see the story, my old favorite Gillian Anderson from The X-Files, and up-and-coming actress Kerry Washington, who's almost unrecognizable in her role. But Whitaker, my friends, wow, what a role. And to see him go from charismatic crowd pleaser to an evil monster and back again, especially with that laugh that's a cross between pleasurable and creepy, I gotta say, hats off, Forrest. And again, I hate to sound like a broken record here, folks, but as per the case for virtually every new film they put out on DVD, Fox's transfer is faultless, the sound is fabulous, and like Notes on a Scandal, the soundtrack is extremely noteworthy in its scope, and perhaps even more so with its African-flavored soundtrack. And it's got a couple of really terrific bonuses, including capturing Idi Amin, which is one of the best documentaries I've ever seen on a DVD. It gives you extraordinary insight into Amin's history with a lot of firsthand stories from those that knew him, plenty of vintage footage and photographs from the period, and it doesn't forget to tell about the making of the film with a lot of behind-the-scenes footage. It is really, really good. There's also commentary from director Kevin MacDonald. I can't believe this guy had never directed a feature film before, deleted scenes with optional MacDonald analysis, and a couple of mini featurettes focusing on casting and Forest Whitaker. So lots of bang for your buck here in a single disc, and a definite contender for my year-end best of DVD list. Last King of Scotland, or The Last King of Scotland, let's get the whole title in there, out now from 20th Century Fox Home Video. It's taken a while, but Genius Products Incorporated's Dragon Dynasty series has finally gotten around to releasing titles from the vaults of Shaw Brothers, the legendary action-adventure Hong Kong motion picture studio whose films gathered huge cult followings in the States and influenced many future filmmakers back in the 1970s. And the first batch of DVDs arrived back in mid-June with this impressive quartet: The 36th Chamber of Shaolin, The One-Armed Swordsman, My Young Auntie, and the one title I've had time to watch, Keen Botzer, a.k.a. Five Fingers of Death. Actually, I sampled all of the other discs in bits and pieces, but this is the only one that I've watched in full, and this is one of the true biggies of the martial arts movies. It's hugely influential to the point that Warner Brothers picked it up for distribution here in the U.S. It's about a young kung fu protege who wants to make a huge impression in a big tournament and is forced by his master to take lessons from another instructor and winds up in the middle of this rivalry war between two schools. And that's as close to a nutshell synopsis that I can offer you folks for a really, really complex plot line, which is surprisingly deep for a film like this. It's not just fight, fight, fight. And it balances a good storyline with its deservedly legendary action scenes. And it certainly had a huge effect on Quentin Tarantino, who, surprise, 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 just happens to be on one of the features on this DVD. And I'll get to that in just a second. But I gotta tell you guys, genius went all out as far as quality on these things. The bad VHS masters that looked like they were taken from fourth-generation drive-in prints. You collectors out there, you know who you are. No trace of that crap here. Beautiful anamorphic visuals, the original soundtracks, and the goofy English dubs, if you still want those. Tons of special features, including commentaries, behind-the-scenes stuff, interviews with surviving participants, original trailers. So incredible value for your money here. And the Keen Botzer disc has interviews with the director and action coordinator, whose names I'm not going to butcher here, trailers, a photo gallery, and my fave extra, a fantastic commentary track with New York Times critic Elvis Mitchell, film scholar Andy Chute, and the man, QT himself, everybody's favorite film fanatic slash director slash chatterbox, talking about Quentin Tarantino. And anytime you get a track with Quentin, it is guaranteed fun, and this is no exception. He's a walking textbook and completely energizes Chute and Mitchell, and there's nothing left uncovered about this film. And I cannot wait to explore the rest of the titles in this series over the summer. So if you have any interest in martial arts cinema like I do, this is where the good stuff started. The first four releases in the Shaw Brothers Classic Collection, all available from Genius Products Incorporated. Okay, got a little rural slice of independent fare for you here, courtesy of Miramax Home Video, and one with an eclectic premise. It's the late 1970s, and a bunch of teenagers in the sleepy small town of Shelbyville, Tennessee, are all abuzz about the impending visit of a hometown girl made good in Tinseltown. Actress Sandra Locke, who at the time was riding high in movies with then-boyfriend Clint Eastwood, and so forms the plotline of Our Very Own. And although it doesn't quite reach its potential, Cameron Watson's directorial debut has a good feel for the surroundings in which he grew up and the restlessness of ambitious kids whose dreams exceeded them. Lots of familiar faces here from the small screen, and good performances, particularly Autumn Reeser, Jason Ritter, Hilary Burton, Cheryl Hines, and the wonderful Allison Janney, who garnered an Independent Spirit Award nomination as a wife who shares the same feelings of the town's youth, stuck with an alcoholic husband who's just lost his job.
I'm scared, Billy. I'm scared. How much more am I supposed to take? How much more?
What am I supposed to say? I lost my job, Joan. Those bastards wouldn't have a pot to piss in if it wasn't for me. They turned me out on my ass.
Lost your job because you're drinking.
You don't know anything about my drinking.
Yes, I do. I know that it's destroying us just like it destroyed your brother.
Well, you leave my brother out of this. Don't you ever say that to me. He's dead.
Your brother made that choice on his own, all by himself. There is nothing you can do about it anymore.
Our Very Own is unfortunately bare-boned with no extras, but the transfer is excellent, capturing cinematographer Roberto Blazzini's terrific visuals. Sound-wise, the 5.1 track isn't showy, but the dialogue is crisp, and the incidental music and obligatory period music is served up very well. So while it's not a great film, Our Very Own is certainly watchable, has great set pieces, and some very nice performances. Worth a rental if you're in the mood for a laid-back piece of small-town storytelling. An average 1936 low-budget musical from a studio just getting its feet wet in the singing, dancing genre, Pigskin Parade might have been all but forgotten had it not been for a performer listed last in the opening credits, but whose musical talent and undeniable charisma wound up being the first thing filmgoers thought of as they left the theater. With apologies to Frank Sinatra, Judy Garland has always been the voice to me, and one of American music's most enduring talents, thanks to her landmark role as Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, classic musicals like Meet Me in St. Louis, Easter Parade, and A Star is Born, and her multi-million selling album capturing a flawless 1961 concert at New York's Carnegie Hall, whom many in attendance called the greatest night in the history of show business. Nearly 40 years after her passing, her fan base continues to grow, and thanks to their enormous devotion, many of her films have made the jump to DVD. But Pigskin Parade took a while to emerge, but it's finally here in a very nice package from Fox. At the time of this film, Garland was under contract to MGM, but they didn't really know what to do with her. So they loaned her out to 20th Century for this movie, and like many a moviegoer who must have walked out going, "Who is this girl?" they realized they'd better not loan her out again. Anyway, the disc includes a nicely remastered print, good robust mono and simulated stereo tracks, and some impressive bonuses, including a heartwarming chat with Lorna Luft, Judy's youngest daughter, a profile of Fox's legendary studio chief, Daryl Zanuck, and a well-done mini-documentary on the movie itself, which gives extensive background on the stars of the film, which included a pre-Tin Man Jack Haley, whom Judy would travel down the Yellow Brick Road with 3 years later. And I was also surprised to see Betty Grable in this film. I didn't even recognize her during the course of the movie. She would eventually be one of the stars that would put Fox on the map as far as movie musicals in the 1940s. But despite all this talent, the film didn't really do it for me, save for when Judy appears on screen. And it's not the fault of the rest of the cast, it's just that Fox didn't have the tunesmiths, aka songwriters, and resources that MGM and RKO had on hand during this period of movie history. So unless you're a fan of the great Garland, or merely curious, Pigskin Parade may not go over the goal line for you, still a nice disc for its target audience.
I have a new patient, and the place where he's staying isn't safe, so I'm bringing him here for a little while.
You mean some mental patient's going to live in our house?
He's a very sweet, very special boy.
I don't want him touching my things.
If your mom says he's coming, and that's final.
Yo, juice me!
Did he just learn to talk in one day?
No, Lori, that's impossible.
It was an hour-long test. How long did it take him? 5 minutes?
Yeah, and he got them all right. What is this kid? Seriously.
Somebody has to be missing this kid.
Well, so far, no one's filed a report. I was hoping that you wouldn't mind if Kyle stayed with us a while longer.
What do you get when you mix a little X-File-ish atmosphere, a dash of Starman, and sprinkles of your typical coming-of-age adolescent drama? I say Kyle X Y, the breakout ABC Family Network hit from the summer of 06 that impressed the main hub of the ABC Family so much that they put it on as filler programming on Friday nights last year. They're doing the same thing now, from what I understand. Matt Dallas plays the show's namesake, a mystery teen who awakens in a forest looking like he just emerged from a Vaseline company party, butt naked and winding up wandering the streets until he is eventually given shelter by a mostly accommodating family who can't help but notice he doesn't have a belly button. And to go further, for those of you unfamiliar, it would take an entire length of a typical marquee episode. So in short, I'll tell you to believe the hype. This is a fun, creative, and extremely entertaining show, and its second season premiere set a ratings record for ABC Family. So if you want to get caught up to speed, the first season just recently arrived in stores, and it's got some cool bonuses for diehards, including a never-before-aired version of the pilot episode, an extended cut of the gripping season finale. Hard to believe it's been almost a year since it aired. Nice laid-back commentary on the pilot from Matt Dallas, the very cute April Mattson, and writer Julie Pleck. You've got a well put together look at the show's freshman year and a brief peek at what's to come. Very nice 1.78 widescreen and super 5.1 audio that sounds even better than it did on its original broadcast. One of the better summer series of recent years, Kyle Etz Y, Declassified, the complete first season, is out now for you to uncover, courtesy of Buena Vista Home Entertainment.
Can I be someone who women yearn after and crave for and lust after?
I can just see you, Stanley, standing there in your skin-tight pants, the music pounding, the women screaming, Margaret lusting, the drums throbbing out with their incessant animal beat.
If I say the word bedazzled, many of you moviegoers of recent years can just picture Elizabeth Hurley in a fetching red bikini playing the devil to Brendan Fraser's bumbling average Joe who's wishing for romance with a girl he just can't talk to. But if you were born from the early 1960s to about, say, the mid-70s, Bedazzled conjures up memories of a very young Dudley Moore along with comedy partner Peter Cook as a dry-humored Beelzebub. But nowhere nearly as pretty, and thank God he didn't put on a teepiece. Nope, us guys remember a gorgeous creature by the name of Raquel Welch handling that job more than adequately, thank you, in the 1967 original, which is yet another long-requested title finally out on DVD. Loaded with dry wit courtesy of Cook and Moore, and breezy direction by the renowned Stanley Donen, this mostly succeeds save for a couple of bits that don't ascend despite promising beginnings, but when the bits do skit, they are spot on, as our British mates might say, especially during a wickedly brilliant musical parody when Moore uses one of his seven wishes to become a pop star, and Donen nails the lights of TV shows like Shindig, Ready Steady Go, and Top of the Pops to a T. Another reason I enjoyed this film was the performance of an actress named Eleanor Braun, whom I first became familiar with via her Lady of Mystery in Help, the 1965 film featuring those four youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. And she's amazing in this film, especially in all the guises she has to go through via Moore's wishes. Bedazzled scores big pluses visually in its transfer, with the exception of a few frames about a half hour into the film. It's a perfect print with dazzling color, and you've got a choice of the original mono or simulated stereo, but you can't beat the punch of the former. Extras are skimpy, with a brief improvisational bit between Moore and Cook for London television, archival footage of individual appearances by the duo on a late night chat show edited together that gives decent insight into their career, and a nice remembrance of the film from director Harold Ramis, who directed the 1999 remake. Only problem I have with this otherwise daffy package is the packaging, because Raquel Welch takes up virtually the whole front of the keep case, while Moore and Cook, they look like extras in Tom Thumb or Gulliver's Travels. I mean, Raquel is great in the movie, but she's only in it for two scenes, but oh well, minor quibble there. For those of you into cult films, you've heard about it, the original Bedazzled, out now on DVD from 20th Century Fox Home Video. Well, friends, I am out of DVD movies to talk about, but before we close, I just wanted to take a moment to remember one of my favorite film critics. Just before I started recording this program, I learned of the death of Joel Siegel from ABC's Good Morning America, taken from us far too soon at the age of 63, following a long, brave fight with colon cancer. But I'll tell you, you wouldn't have known it by the consistent twinkle in his eyes and unyielding enthusiasm for the art of film. And I feel for those of you whose only exposure to Joel came after his much-talked-about dislike of Kevin Smith's Clerks 2 last year, which was blown completely out of proportion by the mass media. Yes, he could be biting, and hilariously biting when it came to films that didn't live up to his expectations. And there's no doubt in my mind, facing what he did in years past, that having to sit through the bad stuff really weighed on him, even more in recent years, because it took hours of precious time having to be away from his wife, Ina, and his young son, Dylan. And for such sacrifices, I think I speak for his millions of devoted viewers in saying we'll never be able to say thanks for giving us his take on what we should steer clear of, and for those unabashed spurts of sheer joy when a film excited or moved him so much that the critic inside of him just completely disappeared. The on-air persona, professionalism, you know, the kind of person you're supposed to be on TV, that facade just completely disappeared, and he became no different than one of us gushing about what a wonderful time we just had while leaving our local multiplex and making our way back out to the parking lot. And that's the Joel Seidel I'll always remember. I'll also miss his year-end best of list, his terrific knack for picking Oscar nominees and winners, and the irresistible fun he brought on such occasions before and after the trophies had been given out. My sincerest condolences to his colleagues at ABC, his many friends both within and outside the industry, and most of all to his loving wife and son. Folks, that does it for another edition of the DVD Marquee. As always, I cannot thank you enough for listening. And until we meet again, my friends, I'm Jeffrey Rosato.